the 2nd, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open up with a short dua and we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10, pledged to the Prophet, Ilah God. Ilahin Nas means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community. And then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority. Then he should have that whole community and government and its head worship God, who has been in all of his development to bring him from dust to where he is. We have heard a calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon, and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about men who make an alliance for life when they put their hand in the hands of the leader. It is not only their hands, it is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledge their alliance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18, hand, Allah above all in oath. Al-Hadith, page 1, 307, 100, Allah Hand on Group. Bukhari, page 1, 47, poor with compete to build tall structures. Can I tell you the plain truth? Would you go crazy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you right now through Elijah's son. I am not a prophet. I am no angel. I am Wallace D. Muhammad. The prophet, present and peace be upon him, said a sign of the end of the world will be that the poor people will be competing with the rich people in the building of skyscrapers. Isn't this a tall house we are building right now? We are putting together a tall structure right now. And I think we can compete with the rich, can't we? Not just the rich in money, but the rich also in knowledge. Please don't repeat what I told you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Elijah's son. You don't want to repeat that. I have been under the tree where the followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, took an oath and they placed their hand on his hand and kept placing their hands on each other's hands, and their hands were supported by his hand. His hand was the first to take the oath upon. They were told by God that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the last hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also verified that oath was approved by him. The Quran Surah 48, Ayah 10, Allah hand over their hand at the oath. So this is why I mentioned that I had a vision. I did. It was just like it was real that I was with the followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, under the tree when they made an oath to him. The first one put his hand on his hand, and then they kept putting hands over hands in the dream. I came in and I put my hand there. It was a big pile of hands way up there. And I put my hand in there, and they just kept on piling them up. And the last hand is God's hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it in the Quran that his hand is above your hand. Prophet Muhammad could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. Now, they were pledging alliance to the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So that says even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves it. So you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, but he didn't want to send him. He's going to back him up in everything. So after the pow, their hands up, then God put his hand on top of theirs, meaning that their pledges, alliance to the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was approved by God. That is all that is saying. And it was under a tree. The Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was a merciful man, a very kind-hearted person. And he didn't want to be in opposition to the scheme of God that existed before him and had been carried out by prophets one after another. So he spared, revealing what he knew would wreck Christianity, wreck Judaism. He could have destroyed all of it if he wanted to, at least exposed them so badly until a lot of people would have just turned against not only Jews and Christians, but they would turn against religion, and he didn't want that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, because he was at a certain point in his life really fed up with a lot of things that they were doing. It's evident in his life work and evident in the Quran too, that he was really burdened terribly by a lot of things that were going on that he had no nature for. But God would not let him hurt God's plan for his life as the last prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, and a mercy to all the world. So God would give him understanding that gave him relief. So we thank the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, always was on the right path. No. The Quran says he found you strained, found you weighted down with burden on your back, and guided you. So he also was strained. In the Bible of Jesus, it says, is there good in it? Not. The answer, not. Not a one. Not a single one. Everybody has erred or sinned. Even the prophets, the best of the people. So the Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 14. Allah forgives, punishes whomever. So God has the power to whip us into shape. He uses all kinds of sticks. He can get you any place, any time. He can whip you mentally into form. morally and spiritually and physically. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 27, Etamas, secure, with shaved head. Judges 16:17-9. Samson's strength, hair cut, seven locks. Judges 11:2, 12, and 3. Mary washed Jesus' feet with hair. So haircut equals world can make deep-seated sensitivity, conform to wrong guidance. The mind is secure when the seasons are correct or corrected. So when man checks seasons, fulfill God's intuitive urge, intuitive perception, that's when he finds peace. Your tendency to follow the intuitive urge has gotten taken you into extremes. So make your hair short. Come from those extremes. Take off bad growth and big and bring it down close to nature. Don't cut nature off. Cutting hair in the connection with taqwa means they didn't give themselves to the influence of their own urges. They had control. Shaved ones equal the inbound instinct or the intelligent instinct can be made to behave out of its nature, and we have to sacrifice those inner instincts that aren't conforming to the pattern that Allah intended for that life. Long hair is very unruly. It tangles all up. When short, it doesn't tangle. Taqwa. With taqwa, the inner urges are governed. Hair is keener sense, can detect what the flesh doesn't detect. It is symbolic of intuitive sense. See hair rise on the back of an animal equal in that intelligent, inbound intelligence that wasn't learned in a book. Mary Magdalene's hair. Hair is water. Another heat brings on water. Sorrow, repentance makes us cry. Mary Magdalene wiped feet of Jesus with her tears. This is deep-seated feelings in us, sympathy. Tear equals warm water. N-A, salt water. Some Christians believe intuitive sense is spirit of God. You're wrong. That's human sense, creation. So Mary Magdalene washed the feet with hair. Hair equals sensitivity in the human. The ribbon represents the rib. The tick checks that sensitivity, symbolic of dormant intelligence. It feels what's right and what's wrong. But it's asleep, and sleeping persons is insensitive. Talking about blind sensitivity that's not intelligent, directed, nor managed. So it goes fluttering about like hair. Hair also represents fire. When a person runs, it is like flames, passion that's unchecked. Judge 16:17-9. Samson, strength, hair cut, seven locks. So hair symbolizes of religious knowledge. It comes with one color, and with age it becomes white. So religious knowledge comes to form in us light of understanding equal white, but it shouldn't turn white. In the end, it should come to you first like this, seven locks hair. You need a key to open a lock. His strength was in that. His knowledge was locked up, not exposed to others. Seven, secret knowledge, runs a course, then it repeats it. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, Spana. O you who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible. For suspicion in some cases is a sin. And spy not on each other, nor speak ill of each other behind their back. Yes. Okay, very important question. Yes. Now that brings up another question. I'm going to answer the first that came up in my mind before I answer yours. Then I will come to yours. Now, in the Islamic society, those who are guilty of fornication and adultery in previous life of the mushriks, idolaters, once they convert to Islam, all that's forgiven. They wouldn't be seen as adulteries or fornicators, okay? So that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question is, how do we know these people are guilty of fornication or of adultery? We know because it has been brought to public conscience. It has been brought to the public awareness. That's how we know. We are not to go spying on people or to dig up or to ask questions without evidence of knowledge that something exists. We are not to look for adultery and fornication. Adultery and fornication is supposed to be in our eyes. When we start to address adultery and fornication, yes, the right of privacy is very strong in Islam. That's not only in America's right or rights for our government and our public. The rights of privacy is very strong right in Islam. You are not supposed to spy on brothers. You're not supposed to spy on your sisters. You're not supposed to be suspicious. You are only supposed to act upon evidence that has been brought to the public awareness. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, eat dead brothers' flesh. Imams, you say you believe in those who you are supposed to be loyal to every other imam. No, you join enemies of that Islam. Don't be hypocrites and deceivers. You would want flesh of the dead brother to eat it, to be eaten? That's horrible sight, pictures. Someone eats the flesh of dead brothers. What does it mean? He can't defend himself. He's absent. He don't know what he's doing. God pictures you. Brothers, about you don't know what he's doing. God pictures you as savage beasts chewing brothers, devouring his good character. As someone changed pictures of human beautiful bodies, his living character is sane in his absence. You there chewing away on good pictures of his life. If it's fire, flame, throwers hit him with death. Mukmin, faith. Mukmin from a root word meaning trust, faith. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, suspicion in some cases is a sin. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 21, he was obedient and trustworthy. It is a shame that some of us are so distrustful. In the Quran and in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established that to be suspicious in human nature, but to carry it to the extreme, maybe be sinful. Do you know that is what holds us back now? We cannot progress like we should because we are too distrustful of one another. we are given a leader who was called trustworthy before God called him. When he knew nothing of revealed scripture, Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, was called the trustworthy and the truthful. Why is it that given to us, to teach us that our leader must be trustworthy, and we then are obligated to trust him? And what is it also to tell us? Aren't all of us called mu'min? If we are believers, mu'min, what does it mean? I can trust you. It comes from a root word meaning trust, not just faith or belief. So the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. Student and encouragement is to know his own human value. Spying in the United States is un-Islamic, pardon me. So myth is also science. Imam Yusuf Salim, what are the key components of an Islamic curriculum? Imam W.D. Muhammad, the key component of an Islamic curriculum, you get them from my opinion, my opening statement, pardon me. They are all there. Wholeness, truthfulness, integrity for the body of knowledge, integrity, compassion, openness, encouragement to the student. And the best encouragement to the student is for the student to know his own human value as a human person. So there is more, but I think what I said in the opening about the reality of the world that we live in, and how the common belief that we get mostly from myths, but they call it religion. Religion acknowledges that it is myths. Myth is not foolishness. Myth is also science. But myth is a different language. So when religion tells the child that God made the man of clay, how long is he going to live with that? He will live with it all of his life. But I guarantee you, it has a negative influence and a burden on his education, from preschool to college, university, and graduate school. He's carrying a burden on his psyche. If we could relieve that burden, get the burden out of his psyche, which I'm trying to do, and a lot of people won't agree with me. Some people want to kill me for it. Yes, they will. They want to kill me for what I'm doing. But they can't do it because God has called me to do what I'm doing. And when God wants me to stop, I'll stop. As long as I am doing what God wants me to do, they can't kill me. Only God can kill me. I know that. So I fear nothing. Not that I don't have human fears. I do. I'm a mortal. I have human fear. But as soon as I recognize or register the fear, it goes away because I recall my Lord and he takes away the fear instantly. So my curiosity is always stronger than my fears. So there was never a time in my life when my fears were stronger than my curiosity. I'm only sharing that with you to tell you that the way you should be, don't be afraid to follow your curiosity no matter what the consequences are. We don't mean go and peep into somebody's room. If you have that kind of curiosity, that killed the cat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids that. We pray, we pry into the privacy of any brother, sister, or person. So this spying that they have in the United States is un-Islamic. And an Islamic country shouldn't do it, tampering phones and stuff like that. An Islamic country, if it follows that religion, first it has to know the religion. Do not think those kings know the religion. A lot of them are just as dumb as the people walking the streets in the religion. They raised them to know how to present themselves before their public and how to run affairs of government. But that doesn't mean they have great insight into religion. How much insight do you think President Bush has into Christianity or the Bible? If he had great insight, you would see a different President Bush. Some of us, we are naive. Even educated ones, college, university, are naive when it comes to understanding this world and how it constituted and how it works. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes and nations. Genesis 37:3, Joseph, coat, many colors. They will tell you that this religion came to make us all one ummah. Well, I know that Joseph was promised the coat of various colors. It didn't say one color, various colors. And Allah the Most High says, and it's true, brothers, on one equal frame, that word that says that the best of you is the one who is best in his obedience to God. That there is nothing that makes us superior to one, to none. Not our race, not our nationality, not our color. The only thing that makes us higher above one another, it has to be that we are high, that other person or that other in obedience to Allah. In our taqwa, the taqwa is another way of saying obedience to God. So God says that he distinguishes us like that. So the movement or the belief that wants us all to bend and and ignore color and ignore national origin or origins, national identity or origin, ethnicity, or ignore compatible distinction in Islamic communities. In the national community is a movement in the religion that God intends the very statement that they use as an argument against a person like me, who says that the African-American people should build upon their African-American excellence, should build upon their racial distinction that is good and excellent, to build upon the whole ethnicity, though it throw it down, though we don't even. And we should build upon the excellence from our excellence. So once I identify myself as a human being with all other human beings, and once I know that God made the first human being, he made me. And I know that whatever he put in that first human being, he put in me. He didn't make two different pots. One pot, one mix. One formula. So when I know that, brothers, I am comfortable now in my original self. Original self before rational identity. First, my original self, and before there was such a thing as nationality, before there was such a thing as ethnicity, before there was such things as racial differences, original self-existence. Now, upon the original self, I am going to structure my African-American self. I can do. You all believe me, I can do it. I can structure my African-American people in a most dignified image. The natural foundation that God has given it to us. In your originality for every God-fearing man and woman on this earth, I can do that. And I can guide you into a cultural dress that will be excellent, Allah has given me this, and I can guide you into a race and an identity that will be excellent. I will make you more compatible. If you say you are a black man or an African-American man, and anything that is. So I don't see the Quran as a book that doesn't have an accommodation for my race pride, for my sober, dignified race consciousness. I don't see the Quran as leaving me out. I don't see the Quran as a book that leaves out my appetite for a decent and compatible cultural life, distant from each other. So culture means dress. Don't you know what culture really means? Dress. So God made nature, but then he dressed it. So the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you tribes, nations, to know each other. So we have to get a curiosity to examine the white man, to examine the sciences, to examine his work. A curiosity that says maybe he is not the best. Maybe I can do it better. If we believe we are equal, we should have that curiosity. The curiosity to feel that maybe he didn't do it the best way. Maybe I can do it better. And didn't Allah encourage us to do that in his Quran? He said, he made us from one community, and he made the people, tribes, and families from one man, one essence, one nature, and he spread them all over the world, and they became tribes and families that they may know each other. And it says again that he made you different so that you may know who is best in his works. So that you may know who is best in his works. Now, if Allah, one of his purposes is in separating us and making us different races or different communities to show, let us show who is best in works, then I must understand then that I should take this diversified pattern of society that I belong to as a challenge to me. God has made a Frenchman, an Irishman, a Nigerian, a man from Ghana, the Korean, etc., etc., etc. He has made them. And this is an opportunity for me to show my place and my worth amongst all of these men. That's what Allah is saying. So we should take this as an opportunity for us to prove ourselves, get into the competition, compete with these people. And you can't compete with something that you think is impossible to reach. If you think the white man is impossible to reach, if you think his knowledge is impossible to reach or impossible to excel or suppress, you are finished. You are out of the competition. But when you suspect that he is not the Superman, when you suspect he is not God, when you suspect that he is not your superior, then you can get into the competition. And that's what we got to do. Get into the competition. Many of our people have gotten into the competition in the past. They have challenged the white man on different levels. And many of them have excelled them in their time. So we don't want to stop. I find us in 1982 look like we are more complacent than we were in slavery. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13. Tribe, nation, to know each other. God created us so we can get acquainted with each other, so we can benefit each other, because God has placed us in different parts of the world. And we have come into these distinctions and you have an experience, work, that I don't have. And I have what you don't have. So when we come together, look at the great liberation we all have. We can liberate ourselves by ourselves. We need to come together with each other. Racism keeps distinction. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. N.A., it is wrong to project or depict the prophet as only white, only Jews, or all black. Any community of religious people on earth, regardless of their race and nationality, if they have insight into the language of Scripture, they will see the prophetic figures are not racial, but are human figures and are the prophets of all people. That's the way we should read the Quran. Our beauty is in uniting upon what is inherent in our life and nature while keeping our distinction. That's how evolved us, what is inherent. But we are to keep the distinction. What we need is mental perception. Perception to draw in the mind or to become clear for us in the mind. Many things affect perception. And perception affects all things for the individual. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes, races. Race distinction. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. So we see each other in the noblest of identities, the human identity, not racial ethnicity, ethnics, cultural identity. We are one human type. We are equal, shared in the provision God has provided for us. God removes racism. The principle is inclusion, but yet distinction. The Hajj is protection for our unity and our diversity. Every child in a household under the parent, don't they have equal rights, belong to one family? Don't the parent want to see each of those children pursue their interests that's lawful and legal and become their distinct individual, person? That's what God wants for us. That's what the Hajj is saying. I want you all in unity as one. But I want you to keep your distinction that God approves of. My taste for clothing, my career choice. A lot of them want all of us as someone mine in one picture. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, made tribes and nations. So I believe God created us for race pride, created us for racial dignity, that God intends for the white man to feel good about being a white man, but he also intends for the black man to feel good about being a black man. That's the problem we have to work on. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 5 to 7, created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says he has made or created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, beautiful pairs. So if you don't pair up, you stay ugly. Isn't that right? When you find people who don't want to be with anybody, aren't they ugly? I don't care how beautiful they look in the outer appearance. Ugliness inside makes them even appear ugly outside. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayah 6 to 8, observe creation. God tells us about his work so we will know better how to begin our work. God wants us to study his work so we know better how to plan our work. So this is how the world became great. this is how civilization evolved. It is because of the free thinkers, thinkers who looked at the objective reality and took lessons from it and studied it and compiled the knowledge, arranged the knowledge, ordered the knowledge so that others will learn after them and be able to further the movement into the promised land, the good life that God created us for on earth and after. Real knowledge, true knowledge, is knowledge we find in the works of God. In the works of God, that's where we find the true knowledge. The human being is a marvelous work of God, the creator. So you study the human being, you get knowledge of the human being's creation. The dermatologist studies skin. He gets knowledge of the skin from the study of the skin. Eye doctors get knowledge of the eyes from the study of the eye. The doctors who is over and knows how to do the surgery jobs, they get the knowledge of surgery from the study of the meshing, the coming together, the inner thread that's working of the material body. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, earth, educate, observe. The Quran Surah 67, Ayat 15, earth, manage, platable, traceable. So don't just think of prayer as something for God, and think of fasting in the month of Ramadan, that's from God. Eating after the fast is also from God. Reading on more than just the spirit, riding on the boat or the airplane, 747, that's also from God. Yes, all of it's from God. So he created each, and you, he created the earth and you to have this great meeting. The intellect and the life in us embrace the creation, and the creation opens up to us. Then he created all of this to be our tiller for us to engage. It plows it. If we would have the same sacred respect for the relationship Allah wants us to have with this external world we call the material existence, so we can have good products from this external world, and many of them that will give us pleasures, just like the good, obedient children get the pleasure at home when he looks at them. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, earth to be observed by every devotee. Surah 57, universe, bigger creation than man. When a baby comes here, they don't speak Yoruba, Swahili. They don't speak Arabic. They don't speak English, Chinese, Russian. They come here speaking baby language. All of them, they have to learn our separate languages. So God has created us one life and made us one and the same people. All of us are the same. Then we learn the differences. We have different histories, different ethnic makeups, etc. But all of these are additions that we put on the baby. The baby just came here right out of heaven as one member in the family of human beings. And then our separate location and life as revealed to us ethnically, racial nationalism or whatever it is, it puts the dress on the baby. It puts the tradition on the baby, and the dress of the baby is different. And he looks, but if you go back and recover, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, The God is the eventual return. So when we return, what are we returning to? We are returning to the original Muslim. So when you return to the innocent nature and life of the baby, you are returning to the original Muslim, to the first Muslim. And if you are a Christian, you are returning to the Christ, or to the first Christ nature. Destiny for all men is good life, peace for all. So the language that we learn to express separates us. But if we could find the original language, reverse, go back, and find the original language of our original nature, of our pure essence that God created, we want the same future for ourselves. We all want peace. We all want peace, a good life for ourselves, our family, our children, etc. So we all want better, not hell. We pay a lot for hell, to have hell, but we don't really want it. We don't want hell. We want heaven. Everybody wants heaven. So this is the common life. This is the common good. This is the common destiny. The common destiny is the destiny that God has created for us in very human composition. God has composed us naturally, originally, to want goodness, to want heaven, not hell. The world is filled with hell now, but we want heaven. We want peace. We want decency. We want to respect one another, and we want to be respected. We want the earth filled with good people who care about themselves and care about others. So this is what every person wants. We cannot have this without respect for the best. If the followers of our neighbors would return to their better nature and listen to their better nature and choose leaders with their better spirit and that better nature, the world could improve sooner. Misery would be taken out of our lives and out of our neighborhood if we would do that. But somehow the environment that we're living in these times is not as conducive for us collecting our better senses, coming back of our better mind as was for man before industrialization and accumulation of the monies and things that give us pleasure, cluttered neighborhoods, cluttered buildings, flooded with dead things. It is not like what it was before. Man chose this world and made it so crowded and so cluttered. We need leadership to keep aware of what is best for the original human life that God made, so that we know that this environment that we survive in every day. When we look across the street and down the corner and all the cluttered stuff that is in our view, when we look out of the house, it is not what God wanted us to look at. When we wake up and go out from our private quarters, God wanted us to see the beautiful world of living things, trees, animals, so beautiful. Look how beautiful fall, season with all of these beautiful colors. See how God made the green things to grow strong and beautiful? But before they go to sleep for a long period of time, until spring comes again, at the end of their effort, what do they give us? Beauty. Beautiful colors of fall. Look how beautiful it is. They're not only giving us beauty, they give us substance for our life, fruits, grains, and all of these things that we eat and support our life with. They give us all of that, and they give us so abundantly at the end of life. They just drop the fruit down and give it so generously to us. And it gives us beauty so generously. Now, God says in the scripture that he made a parable of the human life as a parable of a plant. That tells me that God wants us to give our best before we die, before we taste that winter sleep. God wants us to give our best, give the beauty of life. So if we would be more religious and sincere, the philosopher, the prophets, the messengers of God, if we could be motivated by God's handiwork, his beautiful universe with all of its beauty, if we could be motivated by that, we would have a power to overcome a lot of these weaknesses that we have and a lot of these trends that's setting to take us to hell. We would have a power to resist that and overcome it. Universe, bigger creation than man. Earth to be observed by every devotee. Study of the earth increases your intelligent decency. God says in our holy book, man, don't think that your creation is a bigger creation than the universe. The universe is bigger than us. And when we become separated from appreciating in relation to that, we become smaller and smaller. If we could reach out and start appreciating it, saying, oh, let me look at God's world and let me look at God's, what God did. And you look at it and appreciate it, it will start increasing your own worth. It will increase your intelligence, and most of all, it will increase your decency. But in man's world, you have nothing to look at but that. You have not the original environment that God created to support your life and to open your life up to the great future that God intends for all of us. A great future that will make a paradise on earth for us if we would appreciate it. So we want the same things. We are the same people. We are the same creation. Science tells us that too. We are one people. We are all human. That is our first identity. We are human. We are not dogs. We are not rats. We are not tigers or anything of that nature. We are not trees. We are human. So that is our first and most important identity. And because we recognize that as our true identity, we can be served by doctors. The doctor serves a black man. The doctor serves a white man. He is not interested in whether this person is black or white. He is interested to know if this person is human. He was taught to treat humans. So he has the science, the medicine, the skills, and whatever to treat humans. So life could be so much better if we would just close our eyes to everything we think we know and ask God to open our eyes again for us. Thank you. May God guide us to his purpose for human life on this planet Earth, I mean. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 9. Rain, water, charged with blessings. It couldn't get its growth without the earth to give us the food. And really, the sky gives it food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this before modern science, says he feeds from above and also from below. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Now, science tells us that where there are rain, the lightning, and thunders, the nutrients are formed above in the sky by lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity, the charge of it, and everything those charges and others didn't mention, that I didn't mention. So it will form nutrients. And the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this. I was a grown man with a family, and I thought that the sky rained only water. If the sky rains only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious, plentiful, beautiful harvest from our gardens and from farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also formed in the raindrops come down with water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that saying, He feeds. If it's only water, He's not feeding, He's giving drink. So that's not feeding. Water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he got some material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. So if we don't love a relationship with this material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made to give us our material body, and to engage our intelligence and our thinking, studious mind, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. So rain, communication, revelation from God. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 265, garden, light, rain suffices it. The Quran Surah 50, Ayah 9, rain sent down charges. Allah comprised sending communications from heaven as rain and described it in the Quran as a light rain steadily coming down. It is not described as being heavy noise with lightning, where almost in 1 minute it is gone. That is the way of joyful message affects us. God's mission, a light rain is no only a light rain is no not only water. Rain has water and material substance, particles to help the earth, everything God created to communicate his will and plan to help his creation, morning. So we are at our conclusion. Before we go, remember, Sister Clara Muhammad pioneered Islamic education in the United States, have raised $5,425, and has to raise an additional $100,000. We are asking the believers to make a donation to the great work. You can go to GoFundMe.com to make your donation, created by friends of Imam Donnell Kareem. Also, you can purchase his book on Sister Clara Muhammad, help make possible the publishing of Imam Donnell Kareem's book. The Imam Donnell Kareem book on Sister Clara Muhammad. He was the assistant of Imam W.D. Muhammad and a close friend. Donnell Kareem has been a practicing member of the Muslim community for over 74 years. So we want to support that. Also, we want the believers, and when I say believers, I mean all religions that have believers, to take out a subscription to Muslim Journal, that we will know what the Muslims are doing here in America and throughout the world. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, I salam alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah. It only means if it please God.